Hello and welcome to the European Hoops Podcast. We are a Sports Ethos presentation. We bring you all the coverage you need of the EuroLeague. We recap and preview all the action and cover all the news surrounding the competition. Join us on this ride and learn more about some of the best basketball played in the world. Make sure you don't miss any episodes by subscribing to the podcast and follow us on Twitter at Ethos EuroLeague. Let's start this episode by sending a shout out to all of our listeners that have been finding us. It has been a very pleasant project to work with, and we have listeners from all over Europe, from all the countries where there are teams from EuroLeague, but also overseas and all over the world. A shout out to you guys. Stay with us. We will be bringing you more things in the off season. We will be having special content for the people that want to learn more about the EuroLeague. We will make sure to keep this podcast interesting and bring you everything that happens in the competition. Duke, are you enjoying to work on this podcast and to see this podcast growing?
Yeah, absolutely. It has been a fun project, and I hope we can continue to make it grow. And let's go.
Let's go indeed. With only two rounds to go in the EuroLeague, on this episode we will preview the 9 games of round 33 and we'll bring you the last position of our series, our top 5 of centers of this edition of the EuroLeague. Make sure you guys listen to our previous episode where we break down the current standings and all the possible scenarios moving forward in terms of seeding and in the playoff fight. We start by previewing an extremely important game that will happen in Kaunas, where Žalgiris will be welcoming Maccabi. Žalgiris stands in 9th place, tied with Baskonia, while Maccabi is 5th, 2 wins ahead of the 8th place. Žalgiris has a 12-4 record at home, while Maccabi has a 5-11 record on the road. Maccabi is in a great momentum, coming into this game in a 6-game winning streak. Žalgiris won their last 2 games at home against Monaco and Valencia. Maccabi is the 6th best offense in the competition, while Žalgiris is the 7th best defense. For Žalgiris, this can be a life of death game. If they lose, they need Fenerbahce or Baskonia to also lose in order for them to stay alive. If they lose this this game, it puts them in a very hard position to make into the playoffs and to achieve their goal to be in the playoffs. This game has all the ingredients to be a must-watch one. I lean to the home team, and I think they will be able to match Maccabi intensity and get this win. Duke, what outcome do you expect from this game?
I think this is going to be a very exciting game. I expect that Žalgiris crowd to be absolutely on fire. But I think I'm going to go with Maccabi here because, like you said, a win for them guarantees the fifth seed. So and their next game is against Real Madrid. So even though it's at home, I think it can be a very tough game for them. So I'm going to go with Maccabi to win this one right now. And I just think they're the better team. I know Žalgiris is very good at home, and they have been playing pretty good basketball, especially defensively. But I just think Maccabi is on another level, and I'm going to go with Maccabi to win this one.
We know that Maccabi has a very strong backcourt. They have very high-energy pieces all over the floor. So I will pose this question the other way for you. What do you think that will be Žalgiris' keys to be able to secure this win, despite I leaning to Žalgiris side and you leaning to Maccabi side? That just shows that this will be a high level game. What do you think will be the Žalgiris keys to be able to compete? For me, it will be they will need to dominate the rebounds on this matchup, and they will need to match the Maccabi intensity and beat them on that part of the game.
I think Žalgiris has to try to slow the pace of this game down, because I think if they're going to get in a transition game and against Maccabi, I just don't think that's a good idea, because with those two guards, Maccabi is an elite quick transition team. So I think Žalgiris needs to try to limit the game as much as they can to half court, because I think on the half court offense, even though Maccabi has been playing very well, I think Žalgiris' ability to defend can give them a chance to compete on the half court. So I think that's the key for them, is to slow the game down, because I don't see Maccabi losing to anybody in EuroLeague in a fast-paced game, at least the way they've been playing recently. So I think for Žalgiris, it's to slow the game down and try to win that matchup in the half court.
something that I'll be tracking closely on this game, because we have seen Žalgiris being able to take the three-point game away from teams and the transition game away from teams. But on the last game, we saw Maccabi thriving and scoring at a very high level, even without the three-point game. So that's something that I want to see if Žalgiris has an answer for the way that Maccabi moves the ball and is able to find easy baskets. And I think that will be one of the keys for this matchup between these two teams. Let's move on to Serbia, where Red Star will be receiving Olympiacos. For Olympiacos, a win means that they will lock the first place in the regular season of this edition of the EuroLeague. Red Star still is mathematically alive in the playoff hunt, but besides this win, they are dependent on the results from other teams, and it's extremely unlikely that they will be in this edition playoffs of the EuroLeague. At home, Red Star has a 9-6 record. They have shown that they are at their best when they are able to pressure the ball, cause mistakes and run. Olympiacos have been the most dominant team in this edition of the EuroLeague. They will be motivated to lock the first spot on this game. They will have a really shot to do it. But I think I give a slight edge to the home team on this game. What about you, Diogo?
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you here. Just because I usually say that Red Star needs to get stopped and push the pace, but against such a disciplined team like Olympiacos, the way they've been playing all year, I don't see Red Star being able to do that. So, meaning that I don't think Red Star will be able to take Olympiacos away from their own game. So, I think Olympiacos' ability to defend and to move the ball offensively, I just think they have too much for Red Star, even though it is a home game, so Red Star can always get anybody at home. And I do think Olympiacos will get the first seed, whether it is on this game or the next one. But I'm going to pick them to win it right now and to lock that number one seed right in this game. Even though I clearly give Red Star a chance to win, but I'm going to pick Olympiacos.
Yeah, Olympiacos being able to control the pace of the game will be key for them. And Olympiacos, even if they go 0-2 the rest of the way, they still have a chance to get the first seed. They just need the Spanish teams to lose at least one game each. So, and that's not impossible with the schedule that they have ahead. I think that Red Star will be motivated to stay on the fight. That has been their MO in the last games. And I think that they have a chance here. But mostly, I want to see if Olympiacos will be able to, in what shape Cannon will be after being away from the team for at least a week. And if Olympiacos will be able to step up their offensive game that has been kind of slow on the last matchups. So I see an angle here for Red Star to be able to conquer this win. But let's see what happens. And this is a lovely start for the podcast. We disagree on both games. So let's continue and see how do we predict the next matchup. It's a must-watch game, the Turkish derby between Fenerbahce and Efes. Both teams need this win. Efes needs it more because they need it to stay alive, while Fenerbahce, if they lose, they can find themselves in ninth place after this round. If they lose the game and Partizan, Baskonia and Žalgiris all win. Efes comes into this game after two big wins against Virtus and Milano on the last two rounds, while Fenerbahce lost four out of their previous five games, including the last two rounds against Real and Baskonia. Wilbekin being available is key for the home team. They will certainly want to repeat their previous 9-point road win against Efes back in October. I lean to Efes. And I am concerned with Fenerbahce's current momentum. That's why I'm giving an advantage to Efes. I think they are playing at a higher level right now. But I recognize in Fenerbahce the upside to snap out of it and to perform at an elite level. Diogo, which will be the keys for this game? And who do you think has the advantage here?
Okay, first of all, I think this could be a great game for Fenerbahce to snap out of the bad momentum. But I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to lean towards Efes because I feel like they have more to lose on this game, even though Fenerbahce is in a dangerous position as well. But I think Efes, as the back-to-back champions, they need to go all in for these final games to try to get in. So I'm going to pick them, and obviously the way Fenerbahce has been struggling, it's pretty concerning. So I think Efes is the better team for this game. But I expect it to be highly competitive, of course. It is a rivalry, so I think it's going to be highly competitive. And I think we're going to have good basketball. I expect Fenerbahce to play better and to be motivated by this rivalry to play better. So I expect a good basketball game, but I'm going to have Efes winning a close one. I think they do need to win by 9-plus points to have a chance. So I'm curious to see how that ends, but I think it's going to be a close one.
So they don't need to win by more than 9 points, but I will recommend that they do, because yeah. if all of Partizan, Baskonia, and Žalgiris win, and they win by less than 9 games, it might already not be enough for them to qualify, and it might even put both the Turkish teams in a very tricky position.
Yeah, for Efes, I think in order for them to get in, I think they're going to need to have that tiebreak advantage against at least Fenerbahce. So, yeah. It's a good thing to look forward in this game. I think it's going to be close. I don't know if Efes is going to be able to win by double digits, but I expect them to win, and I expect a good game.
Even if the game is slightly out of hand, both teams will have something to play for, and we can expect 40 minutes of, at the very least, intense basketball. So a game more to tune in for. From Turkey, we move on to Spain, where Valencia will welcome Virtus. Both teams are out of the playoff hunt. Playing at home, I will say that Valencia are favorites, and I expect them to try to finish this edition of the EuroLeague strong in the hope of receiving an invite for the EuroLeague next season. Virtus already has that invite and have been struggling recently to play without their leader, Milos Teodosic. Do you agree with my assessment that Valencia are favorites for this game?
Yeah, I do. And not only because of being a home game, but I just think in terms of playing style for each team, I think it's a favorable matchup for Valencia, because obviously they shoot a lot of threes and they play a high-paced game, and I don't see Virtus being able to match that, especially without Teodosic. So I agree with you. I think Valencia is going to win.
Yeah, I think they have an edge on this matchup, and especially with both teams being already eliminated, that balances things out, and for me the home team has the advantage here, and I think Valencia will come out of this game with the win. We stay in Spain, where Real will be receiving Bayern. This is a must win for them if they want to still be in the fight for the first place, depending on what we see Olympiacos doing on their game, but mostly if they want to end the season ahead of Barcelona, or to fight to end the season ahead of Barcelona, they need to recover one win against the Spanish rivals. So this is a game that Real cannot slip, and they need to win this game. Real are big favorites, and I expect them to win. Do you, Duke?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a lot of people picking Bayern to win this game, especially with all the injuries they've had. They can always make every game tough, and Trincheri always has his team prepared. But this is just too big of a mismatch, because Real Madrid, especially, still fighting for something, for their number one seed. And with the roster they have, playing at home, it's just too much for Bayern. And with all the injuries they have, I don't think they have a chance. And it would be good enough for them to make it competitive, because I can really see this game being a blowout. And yeah, I think for sure Real Madrid will win. I think they will dominate from beginning to end.
When I was preparing this game and looking at the matchups on this game, I was remembering the Bayern game against Barcelona and how they managed to slow down the pace of this game and make it like a fight and a hard-fought game. I think that Real Madrid having Walter Tavares, it really gives them an edge against what Bayern does. I think he'll be key for this matchup, and then it's like you said, Real Madrid depth, it will just be too much for Bayern, and I think they have a big advantage here, and they will get this win. Let's still stay in Spain, and where Baskonia will be receiving Asvel. The home team is in 8th place, and each game left are a final for them. Asvel is struggling to produce and to be at the level of the other EuroLeague teams, and with Baskonia having all the reasons to be motivated and focused, I expect them to get this win. Asvel will try to slow down the game and to be physical, while Baskonia will try to run and blow Asvel off the court. Which style do you think will be thriving, you?
I mean, I think this is a pretty obvious answer, especially considering that Baskonia is in the fight and they have good chances. I think Baskonia is going to blow out Asvel on this game. I really don't see a scenario where Asvel will win, especially with the game in France. Asvel won by 26, and Baskonia shot 24% from three. I don't see that happening again at all. And I think Baskonia is going to be the better team from start to finish, and I think they're going to win easily.
Yeah, I think the same. I think more important than the win will be for Baskonia to be able to have a good defensive performance on this matchup again and keep building it into their last matchup on the road against Olympiacos that might be decisive for them, and they will want to go into that game as motivated and as strong as possible, so they cannot look at this game as an easy win. They need to really blow out and come out of this game with a strong performance to be motivated for their last hard road game on the road. Second day of round 33 starts in Greece with Panathinaikos receiving Alba. The visitors lost 6 out of their last 7 games, being in 17th place in the standings, with a road record of 4 wins and 12 losses. Panathinaikos is 16 with a home record of 8 wins and 8 losses, but they have been showing some improvements recently, and on their last 5 games they won 3 of them. Alba has shown to be a fearless team, and I can see them giving some trouble to Panathinaikos, but I can't go against the home team on this one. I think that Panathinaikos will be able to get this win playing in front of their home crowd that hopefully will show up for this game, and we will see Panathinaikos ending the season in a strong note. What will be your track on this matchup, Diogo?
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing that you finished with. I hope that crowd shows up for them, because we already know that Panathinaikos needs their fans, and when they are present, they are one of the most elite fan bases in EuroLeague. So I hope they show up, even though the team can't make the playoffs. I just think it's important for them to be with them and to help them keep building for next year. But I agree with you. I think Panathinaikos is going to win the game. I like Alba's ability to play fast and to score, especially with those two guards in Modolo and Julian Smith. But I just think Panathinaikos has more talent overall and in every position outside of the point guard. So I think Panathinaikos is going to be able to win it. I just don't see Alba being able to guard guys like Dwayne Bacon, Derek Williams, even Papagiannis. So, yeah, I think it's an easy win for Panathinaikos.
Panathinaikos' wings will be too much for Alba, and will end up guaranteeing this win for the home team. Next game is played in Italy, where Milano welcomes Barcelona. Milano is out of the playoff hunt. After being red hot and winning 8 out of 9 games, they slowed down and lost their last 2 games on the road against Maccabi and Efes. Barcelona will want to win in order to stay ahead of their Spanish rivals Real, to keep building momentum, with them being currently on a 4-game winning streak. I lean Barcelona on this game, that in Barcelona won 74-56 against a very different Milano team back then. Do you think that Milano can bounce back from their last 2 games and surprise Barcelona on this one, you?
I mean, it's a tough game to bounce back from 2 losses going against Barcelona. But I think there's a chance, because obviously they've been playing very good basketball. And again, with Barcelona, that consistency that we need to see, I think Milano can explore that and try to be intense and aggressive for all 40 minutes. I think that's going to give them a chance to be in the fight. Would I pick Milano? Probably not. I'm probably picking Barcelona, because they also want to have a chance at going at that number one seed. So I think Barcelona is going to win, but I think it's going to be pretty close. And I think Milano is gonna give it a shot to win the game.
Yeah, the only thing I wonder here is, we have seen Barcelona struggling to stay focused mentally for 40 minutes of the game. And if Olympiacos wins and locks the first place and Real Madrid eventually loses, I wonder how they will come into this game and if they will have the edge that they might need to face a motivated Milano team at home. And I think that might make the game interesting and competitive. And this is EuroLeague. There is always a chance that we get surprises all over the place. So this might become a very interesting game, but I do favor Barcelona on this one. The last game of the round is played in Monaco, where the home team will receive Partizan. Monaco already locked home court advantage. As we broke down on our previous episodes, they are very likely to end up in the fourth seed in the end of the regular season. Of course, they still aim higher, and with two wins and two losses from the Spanish teams, they can end up in third or even in second place, but that seems somewhat unlikely. Partizan has the tiebreak advantage over Baskonia, Žalgiris and Efes. They have a chance to come out of this round with the playoff spot locked if they win. Personally, I can't go against them after what I saw them doing on the last round. It wasn't a fluke and for me, and they are playing at a very high level. I think that they are playing at a higher level than Monaco is right now. The home team, after hot Mike James-less hot run, they weren't able to keep up the same level on the previous two rounds against Algiris and Bayern. They show some inconsistency on their execution. While I think Monaco will be one of the favorites to be in the Final Four, and with home court advantage already achieved, that really puts them in a very good position to get there in the end of the season. They aren't performing at the same level that Partizan is right now, and that for me is why I favor Partizan to go to Monaco and come out of there with this win. What do you think, you?
I'm going to disagree. I do agree with the part that Partizan has been playing very high level, and I also do not think that win against Real Madrid was a fluke. So I'll give them credit on that. But I think Monaco, after struggling these last two games on the road against Žalgiris and Bayern, especially from the three-point line, I think they're going to have a nice home game where they get back to that playing style of shooting a lot of threes and making them. And the reason I think Monaco will win is because I don't think Partizan can match the shooting ability that Monaco has, especially with those guards. And Partizan doesn't shoot enough threes to be able to compete at that level, in my opinion, at least. I think they're going to be able to dominate, not dominate, but I think they're going to have their advantage on the paint against Monaco, because even though they have Monty Unas and Donta Hall, I think Lasort can get some damage on that game. So I think it's going to be a good game, but I see Monaco coming out on top. I just think their ability to shoot and score and to play fast is better, especially at home. So I'm going to give it some Monaco.
We end in a strong note, disagreeing on the outcome of the last match after this round. But to end this episode, let's discuss who the best center in the EuroLeague is. My approach to create my top five was a mix of player level, the performance this season, and the impact that the player has on the game. And the players that didn't make my final cut and are my honorable mentions are Giorgio Papagiannis, Mike Kotstar, Jan Vesely, Brandon Davis, and Mustafa Fall. There were more names in a list of at least 14 players, but these five were the ones that I was debating to have them placed on my final top five. What about you, Duke? Who are your honorable mentions?
Okay, I have two that you have as well, in Papagiannis and Brandon Davis. And then I have two more, and it's Sorkin from Maccabi. I know he's probably not at the level that these other centers are in terms of their ability as a player, but the impact that he's had on Maccabi's team this year, coming off the bench and just bringing energy and efficiency, I think it's been amazing for them. So I think he deserves a mention here. And the other guy is Dubljević from Valencia. In a normal season, I would have him in the top five probably, but I think he has been very inconsistent this year, and also a couple games in and out with injuries. So if he had been more consistent this year, I would have him at the number five spot for sure. It was very close between him and my number five player. We'll get to him. But yeah, just his inconsistency this year, I couldn't put him in there.
I love the shout out to Sorkin. I just didn't really have him in consideration to make my final cut of top five. That's why I don't have him here. But he for sure is having a great season, and he's contributing at a very high level for Maccabi this season. Then I will go ahead and start with my fifth. It's exactly Bojan Dubljević, the Montenegrin 6'9 center from Valencia. I'm a big fan of his game, and despite his inconsistencies that you just mentioned during this season, his ability to space the floor and his court vision are for me factors that make him an interesting mismatch on many games and gives him a positive impact on the games for Valencia. He's averaging 12 points, 4.9 rebounds and 1.4 assists this season. Who is in your fifth place, Diogo?
Yeah, my fifth place was between Dubljević and one of your honorable mentions, so I think we're pretty close on that. I have Jan Vesely as my number five. I think in a team like Barcelona, his role coming off the bench most of the games, I think he gives them a level of consistency. And there it is, the difference why I have him above Dubljević. I think he comes off the bench, he plays his role, and he's very consistent at it. A lob threat off the pick and roll, he can shoot the mid-range. He's a smart player as well, similarly to Dubljević, of course. But I like Vesely better, and I just think he has been more consistent this year.
I can't disagree with you, because in the several interactions of my top five, I had Jan Vesely as high as fourth at some point. I was very close to have him on my top five. I just end up pushing him slightly down, but he's a great player, and I don't blame you for having him in fifth place. In fourth, I have Filip Petrushev, the 7-foot Serbian player from Red Star. He can play both power forward and center, but I think he thrives and adds another layer to his game at the center position. He's averaging this season 10.8 points, 5.3 rebounds, and he has a PER of 12.8. Is Petrushev in your fourth place, or who do you have in fourth, Diogo?
Petrushev is not my fourth. I have Lasort from Partizan as my number four. And you know, I don't go by the numbers. You already know that. And Lasort is like second in the MVP race this year. Obviously, he's a great player. I like him a lot. I think he's very strong, a very good rebounder, and a good scorer in the paint. The other guys I have, I just like them better. But Lasort is a very good player, and he deserves to be in this top five for sure with the season he's having. And Partizan also, as a team, having a great season. And a lot of that is because of him. So he's my number four.
I will continue to talk about Lasort because I have him in third place on my top five. So
I was guessing that already.
Yeah, I agree with you. In off before the start recording the episode, we were speaking exactly about that. Him as a player isolated, maybe he wouldn't even rank this high, had taken into account other players in the EuroLeague. But he's having a great season, and that's why I have the 6'9 French center from Partizan. The impact that he has on the team and the season that he's having, he ranks in second between all players in PER, averaging 12.5 points, 7.2 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 0.9 steals, and 0.8 blocks. I think he deserves to be here, and that's why I rank him in the third place on my top five, with his production during this season weighting heavily on that. Who do you have in third place?
Yeah, we just have the third and fourth place reversed. I have Petrushev as number three. I think his size and his ability to play in the post, I think it's at a very high level for the EuroLeague. And I think he's been having a very good season. It's kind of like a comeback, because last year and the years prior to that, he got drafted and it didn't work. And then with Efes also didn't work. So I'm happy to see him perform at a good level here in Red Star. And I think he deserves top three. Obviously, you can argue Lasort over him, but I think that's debatable. I think it can go both ways. So I have Petrusev number three.
Yeah, he's one of the rising stars of the EuroLeague, and I'm looking forward to see what next years have on the docket for him. In my second place, I have Jonathan Motley, the 6'9 American player from Fenerbahce. He can also play both front court positions, but I think he thrives and the team thrives with him playing at the center. He's averaging 14.7 points, 5.6 rebounds, 1.4 assists with a 16.5 PER, and I think he's having a very good season for Fenerbahce. And from all the centers in the EuroLeague, I think I have him on the tier below my top center, my number one, that we'll be announcing after. But I think he's also slightly above the remaining players. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I agree with you in number two, and I can already tell I agree with you in number one. I also have Jonathan Motley as my number two center. When we did the power forward, the top five, I considered him, but I like him more as a five. And Fenerbahce does use him as a five a lot as well. So I think he should be here, and I have him number two. Like you said, I think there is tier one and then tier two, which is Jonathan Motley. And I think those two guys are above the rest. So I have Jonathan Motley as my number two.
Very well. So let's see if we indeed agree of who the number one is. In first place of my center rankings, I have Walter Tavares, the 7'3 Cape Verdean center from Real Madrid. He's likely the most impactful defender in the competition, and his role for Real Madrid is massive, and he might be their most influential player. He's able to impact the game on both sides of the floor. His defense is known, but also his verticality and the way he is able to space on offense inside, and his gravity allows Real Madrid players to drive around him. Do you agree with me that Tavares is the number one?
Actually, no, I don't. I'm just messing with you. Of course.
I was shocked for a moment. I was like, who do you have?
No, of course I have Walter Tavares. I had him when we did our MVP rankings. I had him in the top five as well. I think the impact he has for Real Madrid, he's the most important player on that team. His ability to protect the rim and to defend is at such a high level. And offensively, he has gotten better over the years as well. And I think he is clearly the number one center in EuroLeague. And I can't wait to see him in the playoffs to see what he does. And yeah, by far the number one center, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Let's wrap up this episode. Make sure you guys tune in Monday when we will be recapping round 33 of the EuroLeague. Subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Twitter at Ethos EuroLeague, where we bring you any news that break about the competition, must-watch games, injury reports, and our daily trades in the end of each day of the competition, bringing you all the highlights of the action. My name is Andre, and I'll be seeing you guys soon.
Bye, guys. See you on next episode.